Hi there, listener. Before we dive in, I want you to know that this podcast is AI generated. It's crafted from the topics and principles shared in the Bye Bye Panic Anxiety Recovery Program. And while AI helps bring this content to life, the recovery tools and insights remain rooted in the principles that have helped so many people overcome their symptoms for good. Enjoy the episode.
Welcome to the deep dive. We're here to unpack complex topics, really make them clear and actionable for you.
That's right.
And today, we're diving deep into something really personal, often super frustrating, anxiety. You know, so many of us have felt it, that sudden chest tightness, maybe shortness of breath, or that weird dizziness.
Yeah, those physical feelings.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you feel like you've done all the right things. You've seen doctors, tried breathing exercises, maybe even medication.
Ticking all the boxes.
Only for those symptoms to just come roaring back, sometimes worse.
It's really disempowering.
It really is. Like your own body is just out of control.
Yeah.
But what if there's a key piece missing? Something people don't often talk about.
That's exactly what we want to explore today. Our mission really is to get why these anxiety symptoms can feel so relentless.
Okay.
And more importantly, shine a light on the path towards, you know, lasting hope, finding that inspiration again.
That sounds good.
We want to show you really clearly you are not broken. Recovery from this cycle, it's possible. And it actually comes from within you.
Okay.
We'll walk through some simple sympathetic steps. Understand what's really driving the anxiety,
right,
and how you can gently guide your body back to feeling safe, to freedom.
Okay, let's unpack that frustrating experience then, because you probably felt it, right? Those intense panic attacks that come out of nowhere.
Yeah, the heart pounding.
Or that sudden nausea, maybe, even when doctors keep saying, nope, nothing medically wrong here.
It's baffling.
Totally. So you try everything, apps, exercises, maybe medication, like we said. And for a little bit, it might feel like, okay, this helps.
A moment of relief.
Yeah, but then, bam, the symptoms are back. Just as strong, just as confusing.
And that leaves you feeling helpless.
Completely. Like you're trying to manage this thing you don't get with tools that don't seem to work long term. And that confusion, that's its own kind of suffering, isn't it?
It really is. And what's fascinating here, and this is a key insight, is that it's often not just the symptoms themselves.
Okay.
It's often how you respond to them that fuels this whole anxiety loop.
Ah, okay.
See, many people, and they don't even realize they're doing it, they reinforce the discomfort because they're missing something crucial.
Which is?
Which is that anxiety doesn't always show up as, you know, obvious fear or worry.
Right. Not always mental.
Exactly. It often comes out as these weird physical symptoms or maybe intense, intrusive thoughts that just feel impossible to ignore.
Okay.
So when you react by panicking or resisting or trying desperately to avoid those feelings,
you're feeding it.
You're basically feeding an internal alarm system. It thinks it's protecting you, but it's actually just keeping you stuck, getting in the way of your peace.
So what does that mean then if your body's stuck in like survival mode?
Yeah, that fight or flight system is basically on high alert.
And you react to its alarms with more fear. You're just making it worse, reinforcing the cycle.
You got it. You're confirming the danger. Imagine your body's like a smoke detector that's way too sensitive.
Right.
Every little puff of steam sets it off blaring. And your fear, you're trying to escape it, just makes it louder.
Wow.
The truth is, your thoughts, your fears in that state, they have a huge impact on keeping that cycle spinning.
And this is the hopeful part.
Yes. Here's the game changer. Once you really understand this dynamic, once you see your response as the key, everything starts to change.
Okay.
If we connect this up, the solution, maybe surprisingly, it's internal. It's within you.
Right. It's not about finding some magic external fix.
Exactly. You're not broken. You're not fragile. You're definitely not going crazy.
That's reassuring.
You just have a sensitive nervous system that, you know, got overwhelmed at some point. And you never really got the user's manual for how to calm it down.
The manual we all need.
Right. But the really good news is recovery isn't just about relying on external things forever. Like more meds or avoiding all stress, which is impossible.
So what is it about?
It's about teaching your body a new way to respond. Gently, consistently, showing it that you are safe. Safe even when you feel those uncomfortable sensations. Safe to feel again.
Okay, now this is where it gets really interesting for me. And you said it's backed by science.
Yeah, neuroscience supports this strongly.
So instead of freaking out when you feel, say, a skipped heartbeat or a wave of dizziness, what if you just let it happen?
Exactly. The idea is to stay grounded. It might be uncomfortable, sure, but you gently continue with what you were doing.
Like grocery shopping.
Like grocery shopping, yeah.
Yeah.
The focus totally shifts. It's not about trying to feel good or make the symptom vanish instantly.
It's about
focusing on feeling safe while the sensation is there. Recognizing it's uncomfortable, yes, but not actually dangerous.
Okay, I see.
This approach, it's sometimes called inhibitory learning. You're actively teaching your brain something new.
That these feelings aren't a real threat.
Precisely. These sensations, not a threat to your well-being.
So that raises the question, though. How do you actually teach your brain that? It sounds simple, but in the moment.
Right. It takes practice. It's actually quite similar to the idea behind exposure therapy, but you're applying it internally.
Okay.
You're gradually, through your own experience, showing your nervous system it's not in real danger.
So you're not trying to just eliminate the fear by force?
No, not at all. You're giving your brain new evidence, contradictory evidence, consistently.
And over time?
Over time, the brain literally starts to rewire its understanding of those sensations. Not because you forced it, but because you showed it repeatedly that the danger it perceived just wasn't real.
We call that desensitization.
Exactly. Desensitization. You're sending your body and mind a different message. This discomfort isn't dangerous. I'm safe right here, even though this feels hard.
And as the nervous system calms down.
As it calms down with this new learning, those physical symptoms, they naturally start to fade away on their own.
Wow. Imagine that. Waking up and not immediately scanning your body.
Yes. Or not reacting to every little blip of anxiety with fear.
You can actually live your life again. Even if symptoms pop up sometimes temporarily.
Because you're no longer afraid of them.
Yeah.
And then, well, they lose their power. They fade.
Okay, so as people start applying these ideas, which sound really powerful, they might hit a common wall, right?
Mm-hmm. Very common.
That one really stubborn symptom.
Mm-hmm.
The one that just won't quit.
Yes. Maybe it's digestive stuff or that weird detached feeling.
Depersonalization, yeah.
Yeah.
Or an intrusive thought that just keeps coming back.
Exactly. And it feels so bizarre, so specific, that you start thinking, this can't be anxiety. It just can't be.
You're not alone if you feel that way.
Absolutely not. Almost everyone dealing with anxiety recovery has that one symptom that really throws them off, makes them doubt the whole process.
It's totally normal to feel like that. But okay, what do you do then? When that doubt creeps in.
Well, what's fascinating, and it's a real trap, is what we sometimes call figure it out mode.
Ah, the Dr. Google spiral.
Precisely. When symptoms linger, it's so natural to jump online, start researching. But the internet, well, it's full of overwhelming, often misleading stuff. You can easily convince yourself you've got something really serious.
Parasites, rare diseases.
Exactly. Which, of course, just makes the anxiety skyrocket.
So what's the alternative to that rabbit hole?
Keep it simple. Go back to three core principles. First, go to your doctor.
Right. Rule things out properly.
Get everything checked thoroughly. Make sure nothing else medical is going on. Crucial first step. Peace of mind.
But what if you've done that?
Yeah.
Maybe multiple times, and they keep saying you're medically clear.
Then, and this is vital, you need to trust that process. Trust their expertise. Let that be settled.
Okay. Step one, rule out medical. What's step two?
Step two is crucial for staying on the right path. Find a good recovery guide.
Someone who really gets this specific approach.
Yes. It can be tough. There are lots of people claiming to be experts. But a competent, trustworthy guide, a therapist, a coach, someone experienced in this type of anxiety recovery.
They're invaluable.
Totally. They help you spot your blind spots. You know, those subtle ways you might still be feeding the anxiety without even realizing it.
Like having a coach who sees your form when you can't.
Exactly like that. They ensure you're applying the principles correctly, tailoring them to you.
Mm-hmm.
They help you avoid common mistakes, keep you focused.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Doctor check, got a guide. What's the third principle?
The third one, and maybe the hardest, is consistency and patience.
Ah, the long game.
Yes. And this brings up a really important question. How do you measure progress if symptoms are still going up and down like a roller coaster?
Right. It's so easy to get discouraged, to fall into that hamster wheel feeling.
The hamster wheel of anxiety, yeah. You feel better, then bam, symptoms come back and you feel like you're right back at square one, defeated.
Why does that happen?
It often happens because people track progress based on symptoms. But symptoms, they're a lagging indicator.
Lagging indicator.
Yeah.
Meaning
they're often the last thing to change. They reflect progress already made. They don't predict future progress well. Focusing only on them is really discouraging.
Okay, so if symptoms lag behind, what's the leading indicator? what should we really be paying attention to?
Is how you are responding to your symptoms.
Back to the response.
Always back to the response. That is the real data point. That's like your diagnostic test.
Okay.
Your nervous system is dynamic, right? It'll have good days, bad days. Symptoms will fluctuate. That's normal.
So changing your whole strategy based on how you feel today or this week
leads to what we call shiny object syndrome. Trying a bit of this, a bit of that, nothing consistently.
And nothing really works long term that way.
Rarely. True progress isn't about doing more things. It's about a consistent approach to your response.
So look at progress over longer periods, months, not days.
Exactly. Look at the trend over weeks and months.
And this tells us how well you're really doing, how you respond when things are tough.
That's the acid test. How do you respond when symptoms are super high? Or when you have a setback after feeling good?
Do you panic? Resist? Spiral?
Or do you approach it with that inner attitude of, okay, felt this before, I know what this is, it's temporary, I got this.
Okay.
When we see people respond well with that understanding, during those tough moments, even if symptoms are still there,
that's when you know they're on the right track.
We know with certainty they are on the path to long-term freedom. The symptoms will then slowly taper off. They don't just vanish all at once.
And that one stubborn symptom.
That one stubborn symptom might be the very, very last thing to resolve. It's okay.
So the focus shifts completely. It's not symptom focus.
It's response focus. That shift. That's where the real freedom begins.
So wrapping this up, what does this all mean for you listening right now, maybe struggling with this?
Well, first and foremost,
it means you are not broken.
Absolutely. You're someone with a sensitive nervous system that got overwhelmed. That's it.
And you now have the power, the capacity to learn how to respond differently.
A way that calms that alarm system down instead of, you know, accidentally fueling it.
The journey might take patience, consistency.
Maybe finding a trusted guide is helpful.
But that freedom, freedom from being afraid of your own body, it's closer than you might think.
It really is. And it's about gently reclaiming your life, which leads to maybe one final thought or question for you to consider today.
Okay.
What is one small, gentle step you can take, maybe even right now today, to start teaching your body it's safe to feel again?
Just one small thing.
Yeah. Maybe it's just practicing letting a symptom be there for a few moments without fighting it. Or maybe it's looking into finding some guidance to help spot those blind spots.
Right.
Just remember that long-term freedom, that peace, it's built on consistent, patient, compassionate effort.
You have that capacity within you.
You absolutely do, to reclaim your life, to find lasting relief.